Well, yesterday was a work day at the Magnuson family house at 625 Park Avenue in Matamidi, Minnesota. It was a work day because we've had a little bit of a problem down by the lake, by the body of water that we live in. You see, the water has receded probably a good 50 yards because the water level has dropped so much. And so what happens when the water goes out? We get a whole overgrowth of weeds. You get trees, you know, that thick starting to grow up. And it just is a mess. It's a jungle down there. It's a wild brush. And so we had a lot of people, a good crew out yesterday that were working on hacking up all those branches, pulling weeds, uprooting trees that were growing up before they get too big. It was quite the work event. And what happens when we work hard in the sun and the sun's beating down on us and we're getting tired? There's something pretty common that happens. I needed a little bit of something to quench my thirst. I was looking for something and I had my work gloves on and I'd just been working at uprooting this tree. I felt like an Elgard for a day. It was remarkable. And here I was working away and suddenly my mouth just was dry and I was looking for something to drink. Thankfully my wife helped and brought something and there were some thermoses there that we could partake. But you know what I really could have used at that time? I really could have used one of these. Now, I'm not going to give any, you know, product advertisements for free. I'm just going to say this drink starts with a Gator and ends with an Aid. But it says right on here, thirst quencher. Thirst quencher. How many of times have you gotten maybe a Gatorade or a Power? You've just been so thirsty and you drank this thing and you didn't have any problems being thirsty for a while. Oh man, that quenched your thirst. This was true advertising right down to the T. How cruel would it have been if I would have gotten, I had this Gatorade and I said, oh, this is thirst quencher. This will do it for me. I'm going to get it. I open it up. Like this. Oh, my mouth is so parched. And I start drinking. But I say, wait a second. My mouth is still dry. I'm still parched. My lips are still cracking. Nope. Still not working. Let's say I drank that whole bottle of Gatorade and I was no less thirsty than I was before. What do we say? Liar. It's not a thirst quencher. I'm still thirsty. That would be a pretty horrible trick, wouldn't it? But I've got something I think that's even more cruel. That would be even worse than being able to drink all I wanted and never be satisfied. You know what that would be? That would be if I drank this whole thing and my mouth stopped being thirsty. My mouth wasn't parched. It felt like I was no longer thirsty. But what had happened was my body was no less dehydrated. And I could drink all that I wanted, and I would feel like I wasn't thirsty anymore, and my body was parched. And I died of dehydration, or I ended up in the hospital. That would be even more cruel. Why? Because all this would have done, it would have masked thirst that was there. It would have made me feel a little bit better, but I would still have been just as dehydrated. You know, coincidentally, you know what kind of beverage does that? Alcohol. Do you know that alcohol, you can drink and drink and drink, but it's a diuretic, so it actually flushes water out of your system, and you end up more dehydrated even though you kept on drinking it over and over. Well, we addressed physical thirst. You all know what physical thirst is. When you drink, when you're thirsty, when you need water, and your body says, give me some water. And we come to this passage in the book of John, John chapter 4. And Jesus confronts a woman at the well, a woman of Samaria, a woman who was the low class. Did you notice that she said, hey, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. You remember back in the days, 40, 50 years ago, when you had a separation between blacks and whites could use this and blacks. Blacks, you got to go to the back of the bus. You got to go do this. You've got to go back here. It was a horrible history. Well, think of it like this. Here's this Samaritan woman. She was the one that people didn't like. The Samaritans were the ones that the Jews hated. They wouldn't even cross the street to say hi to them. They wanted to keep them away. And this woman says, "Why are you talking to me, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "Because you need to get your thirst taken care of." She said, "I'm coming to the water to get something to quench my thirst." But what she missed, what she didn't understand, was that Jesus wasn't talking about drinking a glass of water to quench the thirst in your mouth. He was talking about drinking water to quench the thirst in your heart. And I'm going to suggest to all of you today that whether you realize it or not, there is a thirst in your heart for God. There is a longing in your soul to be filled with the water, the living water that only Jesus Christ can give. But I want you to notice something. The woman says, "Give me this water. I don't want to thirst anymore." And what does Jesus say to this woman? "Go call your husband." That was an abrupt change of conversation. "Go call your husband." What's he getting at? And then we learn, she's had five husbands. And she's with someone right now who is not her husband. What Jesus had to get to in her life was that there was something in her that was masking her thirst, that was making her thirst feel a little bit better. But it wasn't taking care of it. It wasn't fulfilling it. It wasn't truly quenching it. And until he got to that root, she would never experience the living water. We're going to talk today a message entitled "Sin, the Thirst Masker." Sin, the thirst masker. Because we can look for all these things to be like Gatorade, our thirst quencher. But I'm going to ask you today whether the things that you're chasing in your life, the things that you are pursuing to quench your thirst, are only masking a thirst that is deeper. Let's start by understanding, first of all, a common need. A common need. What's this common need? It's thirst. We all have physical thirst. You all know what it is. If you don't, it's a very rare and serious condition called adipsia. It's a lack of thirst. It's a very scary thing. But all of us know what it is to thirst. We go run around and we play basketball, or we go do some work outside and we get thirsty. Our mouth gets dry and we say, "I need a little water." And we drink it and our thirst gets quenched. And what Jesus points out to this woman, what he's getting to her, is that there's more than physical thirst. There's more than mouth thirst. There's heart thirst. There's soul thirst. There's something that we were made to fulfill, that we were made to crave. Now, what is that? Let's understand, first of all, the condition. The condition. Why do we have this condition of soul thirst, of heart thirst? Well, it goes back to the garden. It goes back to the very beginning of us as human beings. You remember that God created Adam and Eve in his own image. He placed them in the Garden of Eden, and they were able to have free and full fellowship with God. God, as it were, walked in the garden with them. They were able to commune with him. They were able to know him and to love him. They were able to see him for who he really was. And then what happened? There was a problem that came in. When Eve took a piece of fruit that looked very delicious and she ate it, that was sin. And when sin entered the world, what happened to these two individuals, Adam and Eve? They were banished from the garden. They were expelled. They could no longer have that free fellowship with God. They could no longer commune with him and talk with him as freely as they did before. It was like that line got snipped. That's what sin does. God is a holy God. He can't tolerate sin. He can't even look on your sin. And when we live in our sin, because we are following Adam and Eve in their sin, we are violating the commandments of God. God says, do this, and we say no. And God says, don't do this, and we say, yes, I will. That our the fellowship that we were meant to have, we were created to have with God, is absent. Now, what kind of things do we crave in life? Let's understand, second, the cravings. Because of this condition that we have certain cravings in our life. And it again goes back to what we were created to have in the garden. What? What were they created to have? To know God's love in a special way, the one who made them? Do we see in our hearts a desire, a craving for love? We want someone to love us. We want many people to love us. We want parents to love us. We want siblings to love us. We have that craving for love. What else? A craving for fellowship, for God being with us and in us and among us that they had at the Garden of Eden, that Adam and Eve were able to experience that wonderful fellowship of the presence of God moving throughout the cool of the day, as it said. And what do we crave in our heart? Fellowship, friendship, those kinship with those around us, desire to be liked and to be loved by other people. What else? What else did they have in the garden? The recognition that they were created in God's image, that they had the respect of God who had made them to be with Him. What do we crave for? Respect. Reputation. What happens when someone disrespects us? Kids, what do you feel like when someone disrespects you? I want to fight them. You better respect me. That craving that we have, I need respect. It goes back to the garden where they understood their value in the eyes of God. We crave and we thirst and we hunger for all these needs. And what's third? The consequence. What is the consequence of the way we pursue these cravings in our lives? It's sin, and it's more thirst. You say, I need love. So where do you chase it? In a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, and a wife, away from God's plan for your life? Where else do you look? You look for the respect of others. You demand it from others. You say, give me respect because I deserve your respect. And if not, I'm going to punch you in the nose. So we say, we look for fellowship. We're so concerned about what others think about us. Why? Because all those cords with God have been broken by our sin. And we're living in thirst. We're living with craving. You know what Jesus said? He said here in John chapter 4, he said to her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. If you go and drink a glass of water, are you ever going to have to drink water again? I asked a question. If I drink water once, if I down this whole bottle of Gatorade, am I ever going to have to drink anything again? You better believe I am, because I'm going to get thirsty. I'm going to go run around someday and I'm going to get thirsty. I'm going to have to drink again. I'm going to have to drink this. You know, it's the same thing. When you pursue your cravings, your heart cravings, in this world, in this life, when you try to ask a man or a woman to fulfill your craving for love, guess what? You're going to be thirsty again. When you try to pursue your craving for respect by all these people who are living here, guess what? You're going to thirst again, because someone's going to disrespect you again and you're going to get mad. If you pursue your craving for fellowship with other people and friendship by only trying to please everyone around you, guess what? You're going to thirst again, because there's always going to be someone else for you to impress. There's always going to be someone else for you to pursue. And you're going to thirst over and over and over and over again, and you're never going to be fulfilled. But it's not just a craving, a thirst in this life that's the consequence. Because if you continue pursuing this water for your heart thirst, if you continue pursuing the water that the devil offers, the water that your flesh wants, guess what? There's going to be an eternal thirst. Remember what the story of the rich man and Lazarus that we talked about in Sunday school a little bit ago? The poor man who was laid up at the gate of the rich man, and the rich man ended up in hell and the poor man ended up in heaven. Do you remember what that rich man said while he was tormented by the flames? Guys, do you remember what the rich man said? He said, "Would you just send someone down from heaven and take a drop of water and put it on my tongue to quench my thirst?" Someday, friends, your thirst is going to be unquenchable. You are going to be forever in torment because you never got that living water that only Jesus Christ can offer. What a horrible, horrible existence. That in this life, you chase the things that can never satisfy you. You know what many people try to do to quench this thirst? They try to quench a heart thirst with physical things. You know what they do? They got a heart thirst for love. And so they chase intimacy with anyone who will give it to them. Any partner that they can find. They have a heart thirst for God. So do you know what they do? They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. They turn to pleasures. They turn to sports. They turn to video games to quench the emptiness that is in their heart. You can never quench a heart thirst with physical things. You can never quench your soul thirst by your actions that you take. It's going to keep on coming back and back. Someone goes to drugs, and what happens? They got to take it again, and they got to take more of it, and they got to take more of it. Why? Because the hole in their heart is still there. Someone goes out and gets drunk in parties, and they feel great for one night, and then what happens in the morning? What happens the next Friday night? I got to go do it again. I got a hole in my heart. I can't figure out what's solving it. I can't figure out what's going to fulfill this hole. I got to go and be a partier. I got to throw myself into this activity. I got to throw myself into that because I've got a hole in my heart. You look around at people in this day and age who are seeking acceptance. You think of the entire, of much of the LGBT movement, as they're called. There's a craving for acceptance. Why? I really believe it's because there's an understanding that they are not satisfied with the life that they're pursuing. There's a craving for that affirmation. And I ask you, do you understand your thirst? Do you recognize that there's a common need in your life for thirst? Let's understand, second, it's not just a common need, it's a correctable need. It's a correctable need, and this is what Jesus is bringing this woman at the well to see. First of all, let's understand the giver. The giver of this thirst quencher. Notice what Jesus says to this woman as she comes to the well to get physical water to drink and to quench her physical thirst. He says, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You know what Jesus is saying? Who's the giver of this water? He says, "Drink of the water that I shall give him." You know, the only thing that can quench your heart thirst, the only thing that can quench your soul thirst, is the living water that Jesus Christ gives you. That's the gospel. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that he came to give you life, that he is the bread of life, and that if you eat of him, you'll never hunger, that he is the water of life. If you drink of him, you'll never thirst. He is the one that satisfies. And what does this giver bring in terms of, secondly, a gift? What is the gift? Notice how Jesus describes it. He says in verse 10, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The gift of God, you want to know what the gift of God is? It is God himself. That's what the whole gospel is about. We think, hey, what's the gospel about? The gospel is about me being saved so I don't have to go to hell. Yeah, that's what the gospel is. That's no doubt true. The gospel is so that I can come and find satisfaction. That's no doubt, that's true. But what is the light of the glorious gospel of God, Paul says? It's to shine the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We look at Jesus Christ in the scripture and we see God. Paul says it in Ephesians. He says this in Ephesians 3 in just a beautiful passage. He says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What comes directly before that? What directly precedes that? To know the love of Christ. When you know the love of Christ, you can be filled with God. Now, this makes perfect sense. Now, remember it goes back to the garden? Remember we talked about it going back to the garden where men had fellowship with God? And so they had fulfilled love and fellowship and respect of Him. And that line was snipped by sin. And Jesus Christ now comes to give of Himself, to give God in us. Do you see now why your thirst can be quenched? Because look what John said, or look what Jesus says to this woman. He says, "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him." God can be in you, friends. That's the truth of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus says, if you trust Jesus Christ for salvation, He will give you the Holy Spirit to be in you. It'll be a well of water inside your heart. And so when you have this craving for love, God is in you. God is in you. How can you not be fulfilled by that? It's going right back to where you were, if you will, a taste of that at the Garden of Eden. You have a craving for fellowship with God. God is in you. It is the Holy Spirit inside you that is giving you this living water. How can you not be satisfied? How can you not be fulfilled? The God-shaped hole in your heart is filled by God in the Holy Spirit that He's given you. This is the gift of God. This is the gospel. The gospel is not just for you to be saved from hell, though it's a part of it. It's for you right now to know God. Right now to experience His fullness in a way that you've never experienced it before. It's to be one with the Creator, the one who made you, to be fulfilled by Him. I love these precious words that Jesus says. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. In other words, it's not just going to be a little hole in the ground that you've got to go dip in and drink. It's going to be a spring. Have you ever seen a spring of water? Have you ever been to or heard of a Yellowstone Park of a geyser? You know what a geyser is? A geyser is something where the water gushes out like this. It goes shooting up into the air. Have you ever been downtown Minneapolis and seen some of those fountains that go and send water up like that? That's the picture that Jesus uses. The well, the living water of the Spirit of God Himself in you, will be springing up, exploding. It's going to be always coming up. And you never have to thirst. Let's understand, third, the guarantee. We see the giver is Jesus Christ. The gift is God Himself, the Holy Spirit in you and indwelling you, giving you eternal life both here and into the future. And the guarantee. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. He said that. Never. That means not once. That means your craving for God will be fulfilled forever. It'll be completely satisfied. Now you say, wait a second. I don't understand that. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness? Yeah, look what comes after. For they shall be filled. You know what? The Old Testament is full of these pictures of God as being like water. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, refers to God as a fountain of living waters. He said to them, you've left the fountain of living waters. And now Jesus says, I'm giving you living water. I'm giving you God. And if I give you God, living water that's springing up within you, you'll never have to thirst again. You'll never have to be seeking the cravings that the world offers. You'll never have to be chasing after love in anything else. Why? Because you'll have love and know God's love in a greater way. You'll never have to chase after respect from anyone else. You hear me, kids? You'll never have to chase after someone else respecting you. Why? Because you'll understand that you're a child of God and that you, if you're a child of His, have His respect. You have His love. You are in fellowship with Him. You don't have to go fight for someone else to respect you. That's the truth of the fulfillment that God gives in His water. And I'm just going to ask you today, I don't care whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian. I don't care whether you've ever come to Christ or you've not. Are you thirsting today? Is there a heart craving that you'd say, yep, that's in me? You know, I'll be very honest with you. This week, as I was preparing for this message, God hit me between the eyes and said, you know, Peter, why are you craving this? Why are you craving respect at work? Why are you craving to be thought this or that or the other? Why do you care about what other people think? Why are you having the fear of man? If my word says you will never thirst, not once, never, why? Now, you might raise your hand and say, I've been born again. I'm a saved person. I've been regenerated. Well, I ask you, is this a reality? Jesus said, if you come to him and drink, you'll never thirst. Is that true in you? Can you look at your desires right now and say, I don't crave anything. I don't crave the respect and love of everyone around me. I don't crave their fellowship. Why? Because I experience the fullness of God. I only care about what he thinks. Can we say that? Can we honestly say that? If not, what's the problem? What's the problem? Because Jesus said, and he doesn't lie, you will never thirst. He says this over and over again. If you turn over to John chapter 30, Jesus says John chapter 6, he says in verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's what he says. If you turn over again to John chapter 7, he says in verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is a promise of God. You never have to thirst. You never have to have heart thirst. You never have to have soul thirst, because God wants to be in such fullness with you that you don't need anything else. That's all you crave. It's all you need. David said, as the deer longs after the water. If you've ever seen a deer after he's running around, go up to a river or go up to a lake and just be lapping up thirst. If you've ever had a dog who you've been playing fetch with outside and throwing the ball all around, what happens when he gets to that water bowl? And he's just slobbering up all that water he can get. David says, as the deer longs for the water, I long for you, God. And the promise of Jesus Christ is for you, when you have that thirst for God, when you recognize the true soul thirst that you have, he will pour out his living water on you, and you'll never have to thirst again. Oh, you'll thirst, you'll desire him more, and he'll fulfill it. You'll desire more love with him, and he'll give you all the fullness of God. You'll desire his fellowship with him and spending more and more time with him, and he'll pour it out on you. That's the promise. Is it a reality? Is there reality in your daily life right now, or do you see yourself chasing after every single other kind of craving? I've got a craving for sex. I've got a craving for drugs. I've got a craving for alcohol. I've got a craving for all this stuff, and I'm going to find my fulfillment there. Friend, you're going to be thirsty, and you're going to stay thirsty, because you can't quench heart thirst with your physical actions. It's got to be the living water that Jesus Christ gives. So we've seen, first of all, a common need. The common need that we all have is soul thirst, heart thirst. It's who we are. Let's understand, secondly, the correctable need, that Jesus says, if you come to me, you'll never thirst. I will satisfy that heart need for you completely. And let's third understand a concealed need. A concealed need. This need was concealed to this woman. It was hidden. It was masked. How do we know that? Let's understand what she says. You notice what she said immediately after Jesus was talking? Jesus said, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And now look what this woman says. Look what she says. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She still didn't get it. She thought he was still talking about physical water. She says, sure, give me some water so I don't have to thirst again. Give me some physical water so that I don't have to come back here. I don't like coming out here and drawing this water. It's hard work. I get tired and I get more thirsty. Just give me some living water, okay? What does Jesus say? Jesus recognized that she doesn't see it. He recognizes that she just doesn't get it. And he says, go call your husband. Go call your husband. Let's understand, first of all, her complacency. Her complacency. This woman said, yeah, give me some water. Can it make my life easier? Can it help me so I don't have to go draw water? I'll take it then. Yeah, I'll receive it. How many people do we see coming to the church to say exactly that? Hey, preacher, can you help me out and make me feel good about myself? If I'm going to follow God today, can He make my life pretty sweet? Can He make it pretty awesome so I can be pretty relaxed? That's what this woman said. Hey, make my life easier, Jesus. Give me a little water. Jesus said, that's not how it works. You don't understand. I went to a concert last night, and I walked into the church, and they had a big sign. This concert was at a church in downtown near downtown St. Paul. It said, open and affirming. That was what the church described itself. Open and affirming. I said to my companion there, I said, yeah, because that's sure how Jesus' message was. Affirming when he told the Pharisees that they were a bunch of snakes. When he told the people that unless you repent, you will likewise perish. That was sure Paul's message when he said, kick this man who's living in fornication with his father's wife. Kick him out of the church so he understands his sin. No, the message of God is not open and affirming. It's whosoever will may come. But it's saying, you've got a need. This church, Straight Gate Church, is not come as you are and leave as you were. It's not the intent. The intent is to come as you are and leave as how God wants you to be. This woman was living in her complacency. Can it help me? Can I get something out of it? Can I get it? It's the wrong question. Because this complacency was rooted, secondly, in a counterfeit. What's a counterfeit? Say I take out a dollar bill here. I hold this up. Have you ever seen counterfeit money? All throughout history, people have tried to make counterfeits. Why? So they can get something for free. So they can get something and make it a fake. I hope this one isn't. I hope it works at the vending machine on Monday. But there's counterfeit not only in money, there's a counterfeit not only in this, but there's a counterfeit thirst quencher. Do you know what this was trying to quench this woman's thirst? Jesus went right to the root. He said, go call your husband. He said, do you want to understand why you don't thirst, why you don't see your need for heart thirst? Go call your husband. She said, Jesus. She said, I don't have a husband. Well, she was being honest. She didn't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. You've had five husbands. And the one that you're living with now is not your husband. You want to know why she wasn't understanding her soul thirst, her heart thirst? Because she was chasing it somewhere else, and it was masking the thirst that was there. Oh, she found some kind of fulfillment in being with those five men at different points in her life. Oh, she found some kind of satisfaction. It made her feel good for a little bit of time that she was living with this one now who was not her husband. Oh, sure, it was doing a little bit. You know, that's the message of false prophets throughout the history of the world. They heal the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Paul says it's going to be a characteristic of the last times that false prophets will come in, and what will the people do? They'll heap to themselves those people because they'll have itching ears. They'll hear what they want to hear. And friends, you can go and pursue your life trying to heap up all the fulfillment that you can get. And you know what all you're doing is? You're just covering over the true thirst that you have inside. People think, oh, LeBron James. I want to be like LeBron James. He's rich. He's got it all. You know what LeBron James is doing? If LeBron James doesn't know Jesus Christ, do you know what? He's just covering up a thirst that's in there, and he's going to have a rude awakening one day. You want to look at some rapper, you want to look at some movie star, you say, I want to be like them. They got all their needs met. No, they don't. Because if they're just drinking of the water of this world, guess what? They're going to thirst again. And they're just trying to mask what's underneath, a longing for God that they've never satisfied before. And this can be in any way you name. For this woman, it was in the area of fornication, it was in the area of adultery, it was in the area of intimacy. She was chasing men as her way of satisfying a heart thirst. And it was blinding her eyes to her true thirst. And you know what Jesus understood? Unless I get to that root, you can't be filled with living water. You know what we were doing down at the beach yesterday? Remember we were pulling these things up? You should have seen Eric Meyer rooting up just massive trees. I mean, this guy was just a horse. It was unbelievable. What were we trying to do? We could have just snipped off the top of these weeds. What were we doing? We want to get down to the root. And Jesus Christ had to get down to the root of this woman's problem. He had to say, go call your husband, because you got to understand, you're never going to get it chasing men. You're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be satisfied, friends. Chasing money is never going to satisfy you. You're never going to be satisfied chasing intoxicating substances, drugs, and alcohol. You're never going to get fulfilled chasing respect. All it's going to do is close your eyes to your heart thirst. It's a counterfeit. Don't go there. Don't go there. You will thirst again. Finally, let's understand the comprehension. The comprehension. Praise God. I really believe this woman got it. She went into the town and she said, hey, come see a man that showed me all that I ever did. There's a prophet out there. He's the Messiah. Come believe on him. She got to the root. She got to the heart because the light of the gospel shined in her eyes and she saw it. Friends, this is a really simple point. Have you seen it? Have you seen it? Do you understand your heart thirst? Do you understand what your soul thirst is? And do you see in yourself a longing for God? Do you see a longing for meaning in your life? A longing for fulfillment? And do you see that you're chasing it in all the wrong ways that you'll never satisfy? You're chasing it by being a big shot in sports. You're chasing it by trying to get rich. You're chasing it in trying to get people to love you. And until you get to the root and understand that only the living water that Jesus Christ gives will satisfy you, you'll be thirsty. You'll continue to be thirsty. You'll continue to thirst over and over and over and over again. Now, you may be out there as a believer in Jesus Christ. You say, I know I'm saved. I teach a Sunday school class. I'm a bus captain. I'm a bus helper. I'm a bus driver. I've drunk of that water. I know what living water is. Well, my question is for you is, are you a Laodicean? You remember the Laodiceans' problem? They said, hey, I'm pretty satisfied. I've got it made. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And Jesus says, you don't know that you're blind, that you're miserable, that you don't have any covering. That's who you are. My friend, I challenge you today, if you're a believer and you're working here at Straight Gate Church, I ask you, do you find in yourself a craving for what others think? Do you find a craving for what God is not satisfying in your life? Oh, I pray that you'd get to the root today, that you'd get to the heart, the soul thirst that is there, and say, Lord, I'm not living in the reality of God in me. I'm not living in the reality of who you are. I'm not experiencing the fullness of God on a daily basis. And I keep on thirsting as a result. Come back to the water. Come back to the living water. Come back to the well that is in you that is springing up to eternal life and say, God, show me my blindness. Show me my need. Show me how much I'm missing. Well, I think most times I've seen that this beverage is true advertising. It is a thirst quencher. But I'm going to ask you, are you drinking something that's not a thirst quencher, but a thirst masker? Something that's not really truly taking care of the hole in your heart that only God can fill? It's something else. Maybe that's because you've never trusted in Jesus Christ. You've never accepted the gift of God for yourself by faith. You've never repented of your sin. You've never trusted in Him for eternal life. The first step toward that well of water springing up in you is coming to Him by faith. As that woman in the well said, and saying, give me this water. I need it. I'm thirsty. I don't have it. And if you're a believer today, stop drinking of that which masks your thirst. Stop looking to the things of this earth to satisfy you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because that's never going to satisfy. Go to the source. Go to the root. Go to the Holy Spirit of God that can give you the fullness of God in you. And have that thirst truly quenched once and for all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful story that so many have come to faith in Jesus Christ through, that so many have been challenged to a deeper walk with you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ that is so freely offered to us. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that has never experienced that thirst quencher for themselves, that living water that will ever more satisfy, may today be the day of salvation. May they understand that they're sinners that are trying to mask their thirst with what the world offers. But may they see, Lord, that their spiritual thirst can never be satisfied by physical actions. May they instead realize that the only salvation is your Holy Spirit in them, is accepting the living water that you offer. Now, friend, we always give a moment every Sunday morning. If you know that thirst is you, you know you're thirsty, you know your spiritual thirst has not been satisfied because you're craving everything else and you're chasing it in all the wrong places. Today is the day of salvation. Why don't you come to the front here and kneel at these steps and ask Jesus to give you that living water that will satisfy you for eternity, that will spring up in you to everlasting life. If that's you, why don't you just come from where you are? Someone will come from the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Is there anyone this morning? Maybe you're a believer this morning. You know you've been saved, but you're not experiencing the fullness of God that He offers because you see in your life a craving for any number of different things that's not satisfied by God. Today's the day to take that to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to show you your need and show you how you can experience in a greater reality the fullness of God that He has for you. Father, thank you for this living water. May we experience it in a greater way this week than we ever have before. In Jesus' name, amen.